Hope everybody had a wonderful Yom Tov. Oh yeah, oh, Hashem. It's good to see everybody. some of you that might get the emails from the shul. So you might have read that over the next few weeks I will be talking about something different. We'll continue with Shabbos and Mrs. Shem. My intention is not to neglect that. That's something which is we started and we have to continue with. But because of the matzav that's right now, the matzav in Eretz Yisrael, I find that my thoughts are continuously there, even though I'm not. And an Adam Yisrael, a Jew, believes that whatever happens in the life of Knesset Yisrael, of the Jewish people, Bechlal, and of each individual Jew, Befrat, that there's a Hashkocha El Yoyna, there's something going on, and something is being told, something is being said. All of Tanakh is telling us that there's a mitzvah for a person to be mizboinen. That when a person, when the Jewish people are going through something, we have to try to think, to understand. And not only that, Chazal describe a person who doesn't try to understand, even though it's true that we can never really have a hasaga on the deepest level of Hashem's ways. But Chazal describe a person who doesn't even think or try or care as someone who's not alive, as someone whose Chalila is dead. The Tanchuma, it says in the Medrash Tanchuma, at the end of the Torah, at the end of Zayis HaBracha, Rosh HaBachayev Choshev Kemeis, that a wicked person is considered dead. And it's very surprising how the Medrash describes who is this Rasha. So the Medrash says, who's this Rasha? He sees the sun rising. Something amazing is happening. He doesn't make the bracha yitzor. He doesn't think of the one who created the sun, who created the light. Shekaz, the sun sets. He doesn't remember the one who has caused the sun to set. Therefore, even though we're not able to be masig, we're not able to fully understand the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, nevertheless, that does not free us from the responsibility to be mamik, to be mizbainain. Torah heave a little bit on utzrichim, the things that are going on right now in Eretz Yisrael, and the world's reaction to what's happening. It's Torah, and we have to learn. Therefore, I don't know how long I'm going to talk about these things, and of course, I'm not talking about anything political. That's not my opinion, and I don't know those things, and I don't talk about them. I'm purely from the point of view of Torah to try to understand and to have some sort of hashkafa. I've had so many phone calls from different people, students of mine, Balabat, and asking and talking, what are we supposed to be thinking? What are we supposed to be? What does this mean? And so on. So I realized that it's important that we talk about it. And my impression is that not too many people are talking about the Oymek Inyan, just do this, say that, but really be'em is to try to understand what's happening to us, what's going on our level, to try to understand. Now, from one Shia to the next, I don't think there's going to be a Seder. I don't have any sort of a series planned. I just, what I'm thinking about that particular day and time, benegay to this Inyan, and I'll try to share it with you, and I hope that it'll give chizik. I think by trying to understand and trying to learn, that itself is mechazikas. And of course, at the same time, as I've been saying in shul these past couple of weeks, that for many people to go to say a kapitel tehillim, which is a wonderful thing, to spend a half hour saying tehillim, for most people is a lot easier than changing something in one's life. And mesiras nefesh means really to try to change something in one's life, to try to take upon yourself, take upon oneself that mitzvah that you haven't been able for the last 10, 15, 20, 30 years that you know that you should and you haven't. How one talks to a wife, how one talks to a child, to a husband, to a parent, a brother and sister who haven't really spoken hartzig in a real way for the last 10, 15, 20 years. Really to say Tehillim is not that hard, you know. Or to go to a rally. Whether these things, listen, it's all, everything is good. But the Iker and Havaydus Hashem is Mesiras Nefesh, which the Gemara says that the Kadmonim, that the early ones, the Rishonim, they saw miracles because of their Mesiras Nefesh. And Mesiras Nefesh nowadays is something that doesn't come easily. Our Kapitel Tehillim comes too easily. It's beautiful, it's good, and it helps us. Mesiras Nefesh. But let's try to understand the sugya of our lives right now. Just tonight, I think I have around 5 or 6 hours that I need to talk to you, to share with you. So I have to mitzamtzem v'hameivin yavin. We're entering into the parashiyas now. These parashiyas in Chumash are parashiyas of tum and tahara. They're parashiyas that deal with unpleasant subjects. Parashiyas shechayres ka'ariv. Chazal call them dark parashiyas. They deal with subjects of all kinds of impurities and strange bodily events. I guess that's the best way to put it. And how to purify oneself and lift oneself up out of these situations that have brought tumah, impurity, into one's personal life. The same way that there's a concept in Torah and Yiddishkeit as taharas ha'adam, as the purification of the person, of the individual, and that's what these parashiyos are all about. There is also a musig, there's also a concept, and that's what we're going to talk about tonight. There's a musig of taharas ha'aretz, of purifying the land, of purifying Eretz Yisrael, of purifying the land. In the 39th parak of Yechezkel, which would be enough, it would be enough just to review this parak a little bit for tonight. Al Harei Yisrael Tipal. The Navi in the 39th parak of Yechezkel is talking about the enemy of the Jewish people at the end of time. The great enemy, Gog, wherever, whatever, whoever. But that enemy at the end of time. So it says in Navi, Al Harei Yisrael Tipal, that that enemy will be destroyed, will fall upon the mountains of Eretz Yisrael. Ato, that means Goig, V'chol Agafecha, and all of your cohorts, V'amim Asheritcha, and all of the nations who join with you, Le'et Tzipor Kol Konof, you will be left for the birds of prey, v'chayis asodin esatich, and to the wild animals of the fields, the corpses are going to be left la'achla, to be consumed, to be eaten. Al pnei hasodetipol, you will fall by the fields, by the mountains, by the fields. Ki'ani dibarti nu'um Hashem elokim, because I have spoken, Hashem says. And then it goes on, v'ashem kodshi oidia b'soich ami Yisrael, and I will make my holy name known amongst the Jewish people, my nation. And my name will no longer be desecrated. And the nations will know that I am Hashem. Kadosh be Yisrael, the Holy One, who is with Yisrael. The day is coming. It's going to be. Hashem said, "Hu hayom asher dibarti, the day that I spoke about, that I've been telling you about." And then a little bit later, the Navi says, "V'shalulu eshalilayhem," and the Jewish people are going to plunder all of those who plundered us. "Uvazuzu esbayzezayhem," and we're going to despoil and humiliate those who did that to us, Ne'um Hashem Elokim. V'ahoye b'yayim ahu, eitein l'gog mekoim sham kever b'Yisrael. Hashem says, for those of you who thought that Eretz Yisrael belonged to you instead of my children, you will have Eretz Yisrael as a burial place. Eitein l'gog mekoim sham kever. You will be buried in Eretz Yisrael. V'kovrum beis Yisrael, and the Jews are going to bury you. L'man taher es ha'aretz. In order to purify the land. Laman taher es ha'aretz. In order to purify the land. So Hashem has promised us, and He says the day is coming. And we're beginning to see this. I'm going to explain this. Where the land is going to be purified of the shaylalim and the bayzazim, of those who have spilled Jewish blood, and who have sought to take the land from us. We need to understand this process. We need to understand what it means. Taharas Aretz. Once we understand this, we'll be able to have a different way of looking at the painful matzav, which of course is still painful. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin and Daf Tzadik Ches, it's a famous Gemara, Ein ben David bo, ela bedor shekula zaku kula chayiv. Ben David Mashiach will come in a generation that's either entirely worthy or completely guilty. Now, the entirely worthy, I don't think we don't have to talk about it. But that Mashiach will come to a generation that's entirely guilty. Kula chayiv. So naturally, we have a hard time understanding this. What does that mean? Mashiach will come in a generation that's completely guilty. Kula chayiv. The whole lineage of Mashiach Tzikeinu, and all that we're waiting for is for Mashiach to come to be mesaken, to repair that metzias reality that fell into a kilkel, that fell into disrepair as a result of the sin of Adam HaRishon, and to bring life and light to all nations, to our nation, to each individual, to fill the world with the awareness of Hashem. So this is a frightening thing. To say that Mashiach will be coming to a generation that's entirely guilty, so all these years we're struggling to make ourselves more worthy. And we feel that there's been some process and there's an awakening of tshuva over these past 20, 30 years, particularly in Eretz Yisrael, and the Muna is beginning slowly to take hold of our people. And then all of a sudden there will appear a time that's kula chayiv, that's entirely guilty. Because if we have to wait till we're entirely zakai, it could take some more time. So what does that mean? Mashiach is coming to a generation that's kula chayiv. In the sixth parak, in the sixth chapter of the Gemara Shabbos, there's a list of very strange sicknesses, different types of sicknesses. Most of those sicknesses we're unfamiliar with, Baruch Hashem. The sicknesses and certain incantations, lachoshim, that are said as a means, as some supernatural means, of curing these strange illnesses that did exist and do exist and have different names. There's a machla, there's a sickness there in the Gemara that's called simta. Samach yud mem tes aleph, simta. And what are the symptoms of simta? That machla is described, that sickness is described in the following way. Initially, there's a certain zuhama, a certain kind of a dirt, a filth, something unclean that affects the entire body. It weakens the entire body. Listen carefully, this is going to be important. Right now it just sounds disgusting. It weakens the entire body. And the tahalich, the process of the refuah, of the healing, is that eventually all of that impurity, that pollutant, that poison that's taken over the body, all of it begins to be misrakes and miskabates to gather and focus in one place on the body. It doesn't say where it could emerge. But all of the sickness moves towards that point, that place on the body. And it creates terrible infection there, and the Gemara and the Mefarshim explain, and pus, terrible infection that causes a tremendous amount of discomfort and pain. But what happens is that some sort of a scab begins to develop around that, a scab begins to develop around that infected area, which holds in the pus for a while, the infection, and that slowly the guf is misnake, the body becomes purified of this zuhama, of this impurity, and is misrape, and the person is healed. This is the machla that's called simta. Now the Gemara there tells us about alachash, a certain incantation, a certain thing to say to ward off this, to hasten the refuah, the healing of this sickness. And the Gemara talks about very strange names of angels. I'm not going to go into it right now, though they're very important, and it would be interesting to talk about, so we just don't have time. But there are strange names of angels. Names of angels that have been sent from stone. Stone is not one of the most popular spots in Eretz Yisrael, as you all know. And this is somehow connected to the refuah, to the yeshua, to the healing process. This lachash, this incantation. About certain names of malachim, the shtalchum yared this time. Okay, it's kulei pella, the whole Gemara is a pella. So that's the Gemara, that's the kind of a Gemara that a person just, you know, you read through and you say, okay, whatever it is, I hope it never happens to me. And that's it, what are you going to do? Baruch Hashem, a great tzaddik came to help us out. In Rav Kook's Chidush HaGadol, in Ein Hayah, Rav Kook says something so profound. It opens up mamish worlds for us. Rav Kook explains that this machla and all the machlas there, all the sicknesses, lo aleinu, are not just some physical sicknesses that once existed or still exist with a different name, but that all of the sicknesses are describing also, besides physical difficulties, are describing social, national, human, physical, emotional difficulty of a certain type that we'll talk about now in a moment. But there is such a thing, Rav Kook writes, where there is a zuhama, there is a filth, there's an impurity, there's a poison that is weakening the entire world, right? That weakens the entire body. Now you know that a human being is an olam katan, is a kleine welt, is a small world. In the bigger picture, on a cosmic level, Rav Kook says there is a poison that weakens the health of the entire world. And this poison that weakens the world culturally, emotionally, brings fear to the world. This zuhama, this filth, this poison, is miskabeitz lemokim echad. It begins to release in the most violent way. It gathers in one place in the world. And one chevra, one part of society, is most powerfully infected with this poison and carries this poison. And Rav Kook says this poison will be one that is causing pain and anguish throughout the world, in downtown Manhattan and in downtown Gaza. It is the makor of all the tsaros at the end of time. However, Rav Kook explains that davke, when it becomes gathered together in its most powerful and potent and poisonous way, that is a siman that the refuah, that the cure, the process of cure, of healing, is beginning. I'm going to explain this. And that the world is in the process of being mishtachrer, of being freed from the burden of this horrible pus and filth. He writes, Hara ha'oicheiz b'chelik echad mihaguf, chedoymel hara ha'mizbatsi b'chelik echad mihachever b'chlola. This sickness that's called symptom, that takes hold and oozes into one part of the body, is like that evil, Rav Kook says, that gathers in one part of human society. And this part of society will be outstanding in its evil trait. And humokim shabayis lachtu kolat chunis ayoyisaroz apzurais b'chol haklolim kulam, and all of that, all that is disgusting in the world will gather into this one chevron, to this one part of human society. And it's happening in the world just like it happens in the individual person with his body. Kol zua megafonis v'adinavshis kimizgala bitsura galuya. Rav Kook says, in the same way the Gemara tells us, that when it begins to become revealed on the surface of the body in the form of that pus and then the scab, then Rav Kook says, that's a siman ruuyim sugelasi lehizbor, that it's being prepared for its what? For its destruction, for its end. Dafka, when it appears in the most violent way, it's a siman otat, it's on its way out. And that the light and the glory of the body and of the world is soon to be repaired, to be restored. So Rav Kook is saying, Oyim v'noira. Rav Kook is saying, the Pshat and the Gemara, there is evil that's hidden. And evil that is hidden, evil in this, in the point before it's been yoytzil apoyel, before it's been fully revealed. The whole world was so shocked by September 11th. A pella. There wasn't an intelligent Jew, an informed Jew in the world who was shocked. How could it be that civilized human beings would take an airplane into buildings that are populated by innocent, wonderful people? Hayitochen? They didn't know that already in Sabaros? And we don't know that in Atzmona? And we don't know it in Netanya? And we don't know it in the streets of Yerushalayim and of Tel Aviv? So when evil is in its theoretical state, before the pus, before it oozes into that one place where it surfaces in the most violent way, when it's still theoretical, not only will the world not recognize it for what it really is, as the source of all misery, but dafke, it can be seen as something which is interesting, is enticing, which might even be beautiful. L'mashal, communism. Let's go back a couple of years. Communism, at the beginning of the 20th century, plenty of Jews found it not only appealing, But they replaced Hashem's promises in Tanakh with the promises of Marx and Lenin, of Lenin and Marx. They saw communism as the big refuah in Yeshua. And communism, certainly on paper, has much to offer. It speaks about brotherhood, mankind. It speaks about the downtrodden workers and the evil capitalists and proletariat and the struggle of class, the class struggle that exists. It's gewaltige things. And for every single thing that you find in his writings, in the writings of Karl Marx, Lahavdil, you could find in a Sefer, in a Medrash. So in its theoretical state, the world didn't, not only did the world not see communism as something which is evil, it's fine. It promised redemption to the world. Then finally, after so many millions, billions of people were misled by that sickness because it hadn't surfaced in the form of what? It hadn't surfaced really in the form of a political entity. It was all theoretical. But once they already was ausgespielt and the world saw what Stalin was capable of. And it came to a point where the evil, the wickedness of communism surfaced in that place that's called the Soviet Union, in Russia, in the life of in the revealed lives of the population. Never were there a people that was so oppressed by the most noble idea. Never has Eretz Yisrael suffered as much from Palestinians as from the moment it came into their minds that they're going to have their own state. And to the moment it came into their minds, not into their minds, they came lemaisa, that they were given rifles and badges and outfits and told that they're policemen, the Palestinian Authority. So that which was theoretical, all the evil, all the conspiracy, all the plan to destroy Knesset Yisrael and Am Hashem, and to destroy democracy, not just in Eretz Yisrael. Oh, now everybody's making a big tumult about how Jews are killing Arabs. Oh, the Jews have been changed into Nazis, and the Arabs have been changed into Jews. And the Jews are putting the Arabs in concentration camps. And Sharon is Hitler. Before all of this, the world now is talking these Lashonis. Wait until Khalil is going to be the first mice that happens here. The first suicide bomber that blows himself up among non-Jews. So when the Palestinians entered into the realm of Metzias, when Palestine became a political entity, then the poison, the filth, the impurity was no longer theoretically divided throughout the Arab world. The sinners of Israel, the hatred for Jews, became revealed in all of its filth and all of its violence and all of its tumah, its ugliness, in this machla that we're now suffering from in Eretz Yisrael. And the whole world is suffering from. That's what everybody was talking about until this started. I don't know about you, but after September 11th, for weeks and for months, everybody was talking about the pacha, the ganze Welt is afraid of the Muslims, what's going to be with Islam, until the Muslims started to kill Jews, then it became already, it's not a problem anymore. Once Muslims started to kill Jews, then the Muslims are no longer a problem. Now the Jews are a problem. Which, of course, is that the Jews are always the problem. Now, this has to happen in Eretz Yisrael. It happens in Eretz Yisrael. Because Eretz Yisrael, because of the Koyach of its Kedusha, now understand this is a very deep concept. And I'm going to talk about this more in Mitzvah Shem over the coming weeks. Eretz Yisrael is so holy, it's so pure. Eretz Yisrael alone has the ability to cure, to bring a tahara to the most profound evil that exists. Only Eretz Yisrael can do that. Europe can't do that. Europe corrected. Europe. I have to hold back. There's so much to say. Europe removed the tumah of Nazism? No, Europe was not much liach. Europe does not have the strength to transform tumah into tahara. Just look at the pictures from France from this past week in England, and read some of the cheruv from Shulam are giving me some internet stuff about the kind of good old fashioned anti-Semitism in England. Our good friend, America's best friend. Listen to the news. Read the newspapers here. Eretz Yisrael can transform that which is dark into light. Therefore, it's such a sad thing. But if one understands this, then one doesn't lose hope. That therefore, the evil of the world gathers and materializes in Yerushalayim. Islam and Christianity, which is the tumah of this world, Islam and Christianity are the tumah of the world, as Yishmael and Esav. That tumah is misrakes, is focused, like that pus of the illness of Simta, because this is the sickness of the entire world. This is what brought depravity, that brought tumah to all of existence, Islam and Christianity. This tumah is davke misrakes, it davke becomes concentrated in the holiest place of the world in Yerushalayim. Ula besayif, and in the end, as we saw from the Navi Yecheskel, it will be Yerushalayim, the mountains and the fields of Eretz Yisrael, that will spit out that pus of Islamic Christianity. This is why, before Avraham Avinu, before we came to Eretz Yisrael, the seven nations, before the kibush of Eretz Yisrael, the Yeshua, all of the impurity of the world, all the tumah of the seven nations, gathered for us in Eretz Yisrael. And particularly in one place, in the place of stone. The place of stone, which is physically the lowest place on earth. The place of stone, which Chazal say on the Pasuk, Matzasi David Avdi, I have found my servant David. And Chazal ask, where did Hashem find David? Bistayim. That's where David's neshama came into existence with the Maaseh with Lot and his daughters. Matzasi David Avdi. Stayim is the letters Said David Malke Mashiach. The mystery of David HaMelech. This is the meaning of Dor Shekulo Chayiv. Based upon this teaching of Rav Kook, let's understand. A generation that's Kulo Chayiv, that seems to be entirely guilty. So let's learn the parasha a little bit. Because we always can understand from the parasha. That's what we're living through. So the parasha is talking about strange skin problems, right? The whole parasha is about very, very painful and horrible different types of skin problems. The roha ha-koyen, v'hine chisaso ha-tsaras, as kol b'sarim. Now the Kohen goes, and he saw with this person that the tsaras, I'm going to translate it as leprosy, it doesn't mean anything, but that sickness, the leprosy, let's just call it that, is covering the entire body. The tihar es hanaga, and the Kohen will declare this pure. Kulai hafach lovan. Because if it's completely white, it's been changed into white. Tahor hu. That means it's pure. So you know what the question, of course, is. For those of you who have not studied this parasha yet, these parashias, so let me just remind you that the color white, even if it's a small amount of kigris, that's the shear, even the small shear of that color white when it comes to leprosy is a simon of tumah. That's a sign of impurity, of defilement. That is the telltale sign of tumah, of the impurity of tzaraas. So if even the smallest amount of egris, if even the smallest amount renders a person to be tamei, so you would say, alachas kama v'kama, how much more so, if the guy is covered with it from head to toe, kuloi hafach lova, it's entirely white, the whole infected area is white, but lahalocha, the Torah says beferish, and that's the din, that kuloi hafach lovan, if the infection is entirely white, tohor hu. That means it's a simon of tahara, of pureness. So it's amazing. What's the Torah saying? The Torah is saying that when the tumah has reached such a violent state that it's oozing out all over, it's being completely revealed. You see, until now, the whiteness, which is the tumah, was theoretically hiding inside. It was hiding inside ideology and philosophy and books. The tumah was hiding in the Quran. For a long time, the tumah is hiding. It's not gefährlich. Kulay hafach lavan. This complete and total takeover of the infection, which now it's fully revealed, is a siman that the body is rejecting the tumor. It's a siman that the body has said, maspik, it's enough. And the entire tumor is now being driven out from the inner life of that body. That the body is being finally liberated from the ra that was hidden until now, that was concealed beneath the surface. That when it only had tiny little pieces that were coming out, tome, kulay hafach lofa, as in ganzen, these all together, it's a simon that the cure has started. And the Shaloh HaKodesh writes about this in Psachim, in his Masechta Psachim, on page Shanayin. Talks about tshuva. You know, when you do tshuva, when you really, really are sincere about tshuva, you begin to find out things that you never knew about yourself. It can be pretty upsetting. Until you do tshuva, there's a lot of stuff that's hiding inside, and you look at yourself like, I'm pretty good. When you really, really break your heart, and you return to Hashem from the depths of who you are, the way that it appears, the process of healing appears in such a way, is, I look, mamash kulei hafach lovan, now I'm infected from head to toe. Before I wanted to be better, I was pretty good. Now that I've decided that I want to be a tzaddik, I notice all these disgusting things about myself. But that goof is the beginning of the cure. That's a simon of the cure. That's what the Shulah writes over there. That by excreting the tumah, that's why we verbalize, Rav Futner speaks about, that's why we articulate and vidu, it's not enough just to think. You have to excrete the tumah. You'll forgive me. It has to be driven out from within you. Then the Shalosh says, Lo yishoyer pnima, till nothing of it remains inside. Tshuva means driving out all the infection. And when it appears on the outside, you look at yourself and say, I never knew I was so disgusting. And that's what the Shulah talks about. And that's what the Svar Makdashim explain. At the beginning of Mitzayra, Zayis Tares HaMitzayra, that the Kadmonim have taught us that the word Mitzayra, the person who's infected with leprosy, is from the two words Mitzi Ra, extracting that which is evil. Mitzayra. Mitzi Ra. Zayis Tares HaMitzayra B'yoyim Taharosa, that on the day of your purification, that's Davka when you see the infection in the most stark and horrifying way. So, the Gemara in Sanhedrin and Chelek, the Gemara describes the unbelievable tumah that's going to take over the world in the last days before Mashiach. Ba'ikvas of the Mashiach. The Gemara gives simonim. The Gemara gives us signs of what's going to be in those days preceding Mashiach. There are many, many signs over there and in Saita. Na'arim yalbinu pnei zakenim. Youngsters will speak with insolence, with chutzpah to the older people. Bas kama bi'ima. A daughter will rise up. Daughters will rise up against their mothers. Ha'azus tarba. The world will be filled with arrogance and chutzpah. Teshapir kalamalchus laminas. The governments of the world will be transformed into the places of meanness, of heresy, and of destruction. Those places that are supposed to be administering justice and fairness to the world. And so on. Amar Rava. There's more stuff there, I just don't have time. Amar Rava. Anyway, you just go on the street and see it. Rava says, Maikra, where is this, where do you see these things hinted at in Chumash? Maikra, how do you know about these signs, what that's going to be? Maikra. So you know what the Gemara says? You know what Rava says? What's the pasuk in the whole Tanakh? Kulay hafach lovan tahorhu. That's what the Gemara says. Kulay hafach lovan, that if it's entirely white, the infection, tahorhu. The one who is pure is about to come, Mashiach Tzidkenu. It means that the healing, it's working. Kulay, it's being rejected, the tumah. Kulay hafach lovan tahor. That's what the Gemara brings. Rava says, Maikra. This is the pasuk. Kulay hafach lovan. The world is meshuggah and gans. It's infected entirely. So generation, the time in the history that's kulay chayiv, that's utterly guilty. Eretz Yisrael has the strength and it will succeed in purifying, in rejecting, in removing this tumah of Christianity and Islam. To bring a cure to the world, to remove Avodah Zarah idolatry, to remove the sheker of Isa Ha'ish, of Jesus, the sheker of Muhammad, of Yishmael and of Esav. Nowhere else in the world can handle this infection. Therefore, our country is suffering so terribly from the infection, from the pus that's oozing there now. Like in Sodom in the days of our ancestors, what a place of desolation, of suffering. But the time of a generation, the time, the end of time, when our people are, and the world bichlal, is seeking something deeper and something real. And the Jewish people want to come back to life and to live lives that are pure and holy and to get ready to greet Mashiach Tzidkenu. Dafke, there's never been such chutzpah, there's never been such insolence, there's never been such kfir, such hatred of religion among Jews. Such kfira. Everything the opposite. It's kulay hafach lavan. Eretz Yisrael is besieged, mamish, on all sides, internally, externally. Dor shekula chayev. Chelek is the clearest sign that the process of the greatest refuah, of the greatest healing, has begun. Therefore, we see with our eyes that this latest event in Eretz Yisrael has been causing secretions of anti-Semitism throughout the world. The world is oozing with anti-Semitism. Nowhere like in Eretz Yisrael, of course. Kiyadua. Europe is always a close second. but in the entire world. Europe is obvious, that's Tanin Evasiv and Amalek. Even if Amalek can speak French, Amalek can even speak with a nice English accent. The cherpa, the filth of anti-Semitism, and of kfira of Jewish impurity is being secreted. I don't want to talk about the painful inyan last week of a Jew. Of a Jew who grew up not far from here, who's marrying a Palestinian and has turned against his people, and that the world, of course, picked up on this in the strongest way. It's gewaldig. And all the other Jews, all those other Jews in that category, Hashem should spare them any suffering. They should do tshuva. All those other Jews who are embarrassed to be Jews, who have to apologize for Jews defending themselves against their enemies. Everything is coming out of its hiding place now. Everything that was theoretical is no longer theoretical. It's coming down to a point where it's lamaisa. Kulay hafach lavan. But this itself, Rabbi Yisai, is the chizuk that I took when I was thinking about this inyan. I don't stop thinking about it. We're in a matzav that is davka telling us not to chas v'shalom be messiahish. I'm going to talk about this much more over the coming weeks. And adrabba, rishus evil is hayleches u'mismaitetes. It's on its way out. It's on its way out. And when its emptiness will be completely revealed, it will leave a world with hearts that are empty and that are longing for what Mashiach has to offer. Rav Kook ends that piece in Ein Ayah, V'simancha, the simon of the end, Kulay hafach lavan tohor, where everything is infected. Tahor is the sign of the beginning of purification. Hamesha begiluyev es kol hara lekilyoin, that will bring an end and a destruction to the infection, to all evil. Utchifo lachutz, it's being pushed out, forced out. Vahelech besaras achaim lalis lahatayv elyon, and the world is rising in a stormy way, in a mysterious way, towards the highest level of good. In a letter, Rav Kook wrote, Batuach ani, I am absolutely certain, Shedoreinu zeh, that our generation, Davke al pischei tshuva hu oimed. What a visionary. That's why everybody is so afraid of him. Batuach ani, I am certain, Rav Kook wrote in a letter, Shedoreinu zeh, that our generation, Davke, is standing on the by the opening of returning to Hashem, al pischei tshuva oimed, utshuvos et tshuva gedola tiyeh, and the return of this generation is going to be awesome. Tshuva ilah, the highest level of tshuva, v'davka mikoiches haparitzim b'shetef bilti mutzar, and davka from the forces of impurity that seem to be streaming, running in an unstoppable way, yisparis lahachyos am rav, those currents, when all the filth is finished, those very same currents will give life to the great nation of Israel. So we see here, we're learning a little bit, just an opening. You know, I mentioned once before that Rav Kook used to say that the word historia means is Hester Ka. Funny is Kakasha, they spell with a test. You could spell Hastari with a tough if you want. Who said it's with a test? Anyway, I mean, it's not a Hebrew word. So Rav Kook said, Mestam, it's with a tough, because it means Hester Ka, means that God is hidden. His Hastaria. But we know, we believe, that just like the Seder in Teva, Hashem made a world where he's hidden, but nature has such unbelievable order. So too, there's an order in history. With all of its aliyahs and yeridahs, with the ups, the downs, the good, the bad, it's not hefker. And all of it is leading up to a certain point where the oimek harotzen heliki, where the deepest will of Hashem is going to be fully revealed. There was another great kohen at the beginning of the 20th century. He died actually in the year 1900. They never saw each other's writings. It could be Rav Kook saw later in his life some of Rav Tzadik's things. So the kohen writes in Sikkas HaTzadik, Nun Beis, it's kedai to see the piece. Al yitame ha'odam, don't be shocked. Im yira reshoi misrabim ba'olam, don't be shocked when you see that the wicked are that there are more and more evil people in the world and they're gaining strength. Misrabim ba'olam v'holchum misgadlam b'chol yoyim, and they seem to be getting stronger each day. Al yitame. Ki yeda, Rav Tzadik says you should know. When you see that, you should know. Sha Hashem is baruch hu baal hakerem. The Rebbein Shalom is the master of the vineyard. It's his world. V'yadeya tivoy shel kerem yoyisim yimenu. He knows what the kerem needs, what the vineyard needs more than you. U'misakein sarcha b'chol eis v'rega. And he is tending to the vineyard every moment. Every moment. It's not stam, it's not hefker. It's not hefker. The whole thing of the tumah in this parasha of Tazria, the tumas leida, that birth brings tumah, transition and change in the woman brings tumah. Life, which is so precious, she has a baby. So everybody's wondering, a baby, what's the tumah? It's gewaldic, a baby. Why tumah? Because in order to give birth, every transition means that something before has died and something new is being brought into the world. And every level of death brings suffering and tumah. When something that was and no longer should be, when that has to be destroyed, just like when a person does tshuva, it brings out the tumah. So the child is born, and the woman has a tumah. Therefore, we understand an amazing thing. You know, the Torah also tells us this week that the houses in Eretz Yisrael, there are going to be houses that are infected with this disease, right? The walls. And the way the Torah says it is like it's good news. Kisavo el haaretz kanan, asherin nisan lachem, kindlach, when you're going to come to Eretz Yisrael, lachuza, that I'm giving you for a place, an inheritance. So v'nasati nego tzaras b'beis eretz achuzaschem. I'm going to give you leprosy on the walls. In your homes. You know, you're getting ready in the pasuk. He's going to tell you, like as the Baruch Shalom is going to say, I'm going to give you oranges and apples and pears. I'm going to give you all kinds of good stuff. And you're going to have yeshivas and shuls and mikvahs. The Baruch Shalom says, when I bring you to the land that I'm giving you as an inheritance, I want you to know I'm going to give you homes that are infected. You know, so Rashi, of course, is bothered by this. It's a b'sara taiva. It's good news. What's the good news? It sounds like it's good news. So everybody knows what Rashi says. It's not Rashi is not saying it himself. It's from Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the Baal Hilula is in Yinev Lag Ba'Yimer. It's Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Rabbi Shimon who saw to the depths of everything. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, of course, is the one who taught that the Goyim, that our enemies, the people of Tumah, they had many, many treasures hidden in the walls. They had many treasures hidden there behind, underneath the surface. There are things hidden. Hashem promised Batim Leim Kol Tov, that Hashem promised us, we come to Eretz Yisrael, you're going to have homes that are filled with all kinds of good things. So what's the Negev Saras, walls that are infected, what's the good news? So Rabbi Shimon said that the walls will be infected, you'll have to break down the walls and then you'll find treasures. So Sfas Emes writes Tarfresh Memvav, Ki havtochas eretz Kanaan libnei Yisrael, the promise that Hashem has made to us, that He's going to give us eretz Yisrael, Here it's called Eretz Canaan. Huma shezochu v'neshapech mitumas Eretz Canaan liyes Eretz Yisrael mekudash l'Hashem. It's the promise that the Jewish people alone have the ability to transform the impurity of the land into Eretz Yisrael, to change Eretz Canaan into Eretz Yisrael. Mashiach cholin b'nei Yisrael l'sakein gam mekaymish shenimtza behem atumah. That the Jewish people are promised that they will have the strength, the ability to fix, to repair, to break down the walls with bulldozers and shovels and bombs, to break down the walls of Tumah. And the Nisrapeh HaTzaras, the Sfasem says, and the Tzaras will be healed. V'zo inyan hamatmonius, and that is the deeper meaning of the treasures that are found beneath the Tumah of Eretz Yisrael. Ma'arav tuvcha asher tzafanta lireyacha. As it says in Pasuk, how precious is the good that Hashem has concealed for those who fear Him. That Hashem has concealed and hidden for those who fear Him. That once the Tumah is finished being excreted, so then underneath all the gifts of Eretz Yisrael, all the blessings of Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Nachman said that here in Reish Ayin Zayin, it's g'day to see you have time, look at the Maran Reish Ayin Zayin. Rabbi Nachman, this we should talk about much more. Rabbi Nachman says that Iyar is the Rosh Tevis, Oiva Yashuvu Yevoishu Raga. My enemies will be humiliated and destroyed. In a moment. Aleph Yud Yud Reish, Oiva Yashuvu Yevoishu Raga. Is the Rosh Tevis Iyar. Iyar is the Rosh Tevis, Ani Hashem Reifecha. Ani Aleph Yud. Iyar can be spelled with one Yud or two Yud. Ani Hashem Reifecha, I am Hashem who will heal you. Therefore it's brought down in the Svarim, it's a time that's Mesugal for refuah, for healing. This time, there's no other time of the year, there's a month of Iyar that's Mesugal for physical cures. And certainly, B'nai Sosko, look in the B'nai Sosko, the first Maimer for Iyar. And certainly, every physical ailment is just a simon of something deeper that's happening inside. So I'm going to end with what I'm going to begin next time, I think. But I want to end with what I'm going to begin. I'm going to read to you a sentence from the Iris of Rav Kook, which has been translated magnificently into English, but the Hebrew is still better, but we'll do the English. In the Iris Rav Kook has, in the section of Iris Me'oifel, Rav Kook has a whole section on milchama, on war. On war. It's very important to learn this. Just let's learn the first sentence, and we'll talk about this over the next few weeks. When there is a great war in the world, the power of Mashiach is aroused. Eis ha-zamir higia, the time of song, has arrived. Now the word zamir, which means the time of song, Mashiach, David HaMelech's song, the scything, the zamir also means to prune, to cut, like zoymer in Hilchos Shabbos. The time, Rav Kook says, of song has arrived. The zemira, the cutting down, the pruning and cutting of tyrants. The wicked perish from the world, and the world is invigorated. And the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. And the voice of the footsteps of Mashiach is heard in the land. Therefore, even though it's so hard to listen, to hear what's going on. And even today, I mean, I didn't hear later on, just this morning, we heard. And we'll talk more about that why does it have to bring so much suffering, so much pain? But to be a Jew now, Bam is a Jew. I don't mean someone that just reads the paper and tries to compare who's better, the New York Post or the Times, maybe the Washington Post has better things to say about Jews. If this is what you're busy with, you're an idiot. If you're trying to figure out which guy likes us better, I mean, there are people that are doing this. So, I don't know, maybe channel 2? No, 5. 5 likes Jews. Then you hear something bad on channel 5? No, maybe 9. Maybe there's some cable thing that likes Jews. So forget, I'm just listening to a Jewish station. And then you interrupt someone like the Jewish liberal that feels bad for Palestinians, you know, on the Jewish station. Don't do that. There's no tachlis to that. If you're a Jew, and you believe in Torah and you believe in Mashiach, then you know that what we learned tonight is true. And therefore, if you really, really want to listen, listen for the footsteps of Mashiach. Listen, listen, because it's going to be Mitzvah Shem soon.